So precipitation and irrigation are additions in this equation, and they have a relatively low uncertainty, are easily measured, so not really worrying about that part. This reference evapotranspiration can be calculated using the Penman-Monteith equation. This is a pretty widely accepted way to measure reference evapotranspiration, so that's good. The leaching component certainly has high uncertainty and high spatial variability, and is indeed an area with plenty of room for improvement. And Brian and myself are looking at improving that as well. It's outside of the scope of what I'm talking about here today. Today I'm going to be talking about this crop coefficient value. And it has medium uncertainty, medium spatial variability, and so we really think we can leverage remote sensing information to get at a more accurate estimation of this coefficient. So what is the crop coefficient exactly? From a producer standpoint, it might commonly be chosen just based on a lookup value based on the time of the growing season and then what was found with previous research for a particular crop. So in our case, potato. And this crop coefficient was generated based on a well-watered crop and optimal agronomic conditions, which aren't always the case in a production environment. And so this is a dual method crop coefficient curve where the solid line represents the effect of the crop coefficient for transpiration, and the dotted line is transpiration plus evaporation. And so we're interested in looking at, throughout the growing season, how that crop coefficient changes based on our calculated approach, which I'll get into. So what is the motivation for incorporating remote sensing for this? There's two main things here. First, it considers the spatial heterogeneity. So this is a center pivot irrigated potato where we can see there's a vast difference in the calculated crop coefficient. And remote sensing, being that we can collect a lot of data pretty easily with an aerial or satellite platform, it's well suited to look at this spatial variability. And on the graph here on the right, we're just seeing that we can indeed see differences in the crop growth. And this is just an example for nitrogen. So higher nitrogen uptake crop, we're seeing a lot of differences in the near infrared and even the visible region compared to a low nitrogen uptake. Secondly, remote sensing can consider the temporal heterogeneity if we're taking repeated measurements over there. So we know this crop coefficient is changing throughout the growing season, but when we're assuming a curve like this, a 1 week offset could have substantial differences in the soil-water balance, especially during this region where we have rapid growth and this crop coefficient is changing from 0.2 to almost 1, and then similarly when it's starting to drop off. So these are the things that we can look at with the remote sensing. So in 2016 and 2017, we had an experiment on potatoes where we had different nitrogen and irrigation rates applied. We collected the spectral data, in this case with a crop scan multispectral radiometer, which has a 10 nanometer bandwidth at 16 different bands. We collected 3 samples per plot. For this part of the experiment, we only used the near-infrared and the red bands. So how did we incorporate this remote sensing data? We used the modified soil adjusted vegetation index 2, which behaves a lot like the normalized difference vegetation index. That is, it's correlated to plant biomass and generally plant vigor. But MSAVI 2 normalizes the data based on the soil background value. And so this is just the equation for that. And then to get at the crop coefficient value from this, we basically just scaled the MSAVI 2 data to the crop coefficients based on this approach, which is essentially just a cross multiply and divide. So we had crop coefficients for full cover and for soil, and likewise for the MSAVI 2, and using that method we got to the crop coefficient. So this is the data, and so here we're looking at the solid black line would be the lookup values based on this crop coefficient as it changes throughout the growing season. And then overlaid in the color and the dots are our calculated crop coefficient values based on the time of the year. And so there's a few things I want to point out here. And first is just that the differences among the nitrogen treatments. And so the fact that we're seeing these differences shows us that there's evidence of spatial variability, or that remote sensing can be detecting the spatial variability. This is especially true with our control, which was substantially lower. But we can see towards the end of the season the mid rate, the 180 rate, there it is, starts to drop off. And now when we compare this to the black line, which is our lookup values again, anything over above the black line, it means our crop coefficient is higher than we would have otherwise used, meaning that our evapotranspiration would have otherwise been underestimated, meaning that we have a potential then to underapply irrigation water. And then the opposite would be true for anything below the line, if it were the case, where we might overapply irrigation water and have a higher susceptibility to nitrate leaching. Another thing I wanted to show is the evidence of the temporal variability. And so here I'm really looking at the data points and where they're falling in relation to the x-axis compared to the lookup values. And so in 2016, we didn't collect the data in early June, so we don't really have it, but we expect a similar trend here. So I'll use the 2017 as an example. We see that there's probably about a week offset in when this period of rapid increase in the crop coefficient occurred, showing that this is a very critical time for as far as trying to prevent nitrate leaching, because this is the time when the crop isn't really fully developed, it's not taking up a lot of nitrogen, but there might be a lot of nitrogen that was applied before this, and so this offset is very important. We don't want to be over applying irrigation water essentially at this time, and then now I will briefly touch on the nitrogen point of this. And so this is a spectral data where we use the Maris terrestrial chlorophyll index, which is just a red edge difference index, and has been shown to detect differences in nitrogen uptake, especially well in potatoes. And here we're seeing the gray shaded area is the area above a 95% nitrogen sufficiency index threshold. The nitrogen sufficiency index is just a way to normalize our data, so it can be compared, and it's used to determine if we're going to put on in-season nitrogen. So it's generally recommended if the nitrogen sufficiency index is less than 95% that we might apply fertilizer. So anything outside of that range kind of tells us that, okay, there might be a little bit of nitrogen stress happening. And so the control separates out very early in the season. But then even this medium rate, the 180 rate, we can see separates out by the first part of July in both years. And so we're able to see these differences. So the conclusions from this research, first, the spectral data could estimate our crop coefficient, we think, more accurately for irrigation scheduling purposes and looking at that, thinking about that spatial and the temporal variability. Second, spectral data could estimate our relative nitrogen deficiency with also improved spatial and temporal precision over traditional methods. And finally, remote sensing allows us to make management decisions about both irrigation and nitrogen management while incorporating the spatial and temporal variability. And I want to point out that with the technology that's available with variable rate irrigators and variable rate fertigation, this is a viable method for incorporating within that framework. And although there might not be a lot of variable rate irrigators out there now, we suspect that there will be more popular as we move forward. And so again, I would like to thank Brian Bowman with the help, and then also some of the funding sources. So thank you.
Conceptualizing it as the cover,
No, I have not done validations with ET on it. Certainly something very interesting to look at. I'm sorry, I don't have anything to add. But yeah, thank you. Yeah, absolutely. So these lookup values for this crop coefficient are definitely crop dependent, and I suspect that the same temporal and spatial variability, I mean, if it exists, which if there's different weather in different years, I suspect the temporal variability will certainly be there and could certainly be extended then for different crops. Yeah, I think so. So the MSAVI 2 is just, it's given us an idea of plant vigor, and so we're just scaling that to our baseline crop coefficients based on a very healthy crop, part of the crop, and the bare soil. And so I don't see any reason that there would be an issue with, you know.
Just a quick question. So what does your MSAVI 2
So that, you can think of it in terms of water stress that is current or more permanent water stress. And so if there was water stress maybe a month ago, there might be some permanent damage to the crop. Is that kind of what?
Cumulative.
The cumulative, yeah. And so, yeah, that water stress would slow down the growth of the crop and show stress. So the MSAVI 2 value would be lower. In terms of like water stress, you know, right now I don't see that. So like for example, if it's starting to become stressed but might not have physiological symptoms yet, probably won't see much of anything going on. But
so you wouldn't actually see if it was jumping the tracks until it's already hit something.
Correct. Yeah. So it's certainly. Yep. That's right.
Thank you.